This is Reverend Booker. We'll be going on in a couple of minutes. Tapers and relay broadcasters, the Reverend Bookburn Show will be going on in a couple of minutes. Good evening, this is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight we're doing our annual Happy New Year show. So it's going to be a double theme, Happy New Year's 2006, and put on a show for the spies. That's right, if they're going to spy on us, we may as well show them all of it. The kink. The self-love, especially if watching porn or Spanish TV, and all that they either love or hate, or love and hate, to watch. New Year's 2006 and put on a show for the spies. Let's start off with a song for the TV evangelists. The song goes back to the 1980s by the Hooters, and is entitled Satellite. We'll be right back.
Oh, Maybe he went to get a striped shirt. Maybe he went to get some plastic shoes. Maybe he went to get some funny sunglasses.
Yeah.
You heard two tracks from Ruin, Love Dog and White Rabbit. Groovy Ghoulies did the King Kong Stomp. Camper Van Beethoven did Where the Hell is Bill. Liars Academy did Microtron. And started off with the Hooters doing Satellite. And that went out to Pat Robertson and all of the delusional people from the Christian Broadcasting Network and Trinity Broadcasting. This is Reverend Book Byrne. The show is called The Reverend is In. It's on live every Sunday night at RadioVolta.org, East Coast Time, USA, 9 to 11. And supposedly repeat broadcasted during the week, but I don't know what's up with that. But we've been off for a couple of weeks since the Reverend's Holiday Tree and Balls Special 2005. So there's a million tunes, probably way too many to actually cover. And so many things that have happened. And so many things to talk about. So we'll just try to get into as much as possible tonight. And then we're going to be off for a week. And then in 2 weeks, the long-awaited, especially by me, Reverend Book Byrne, 5-year anniversary show. And there's been some good input from that from you Book Byrners. And if there is a memory or something that comes to mind that you think would be appropriate for a 5-year retrospective show, or tunes, of course, or old gags, Scooby-Doo talking in tongues, one of the late Marlon the Great Engineer's favorites, or whatever, let us know, and we'll incorporate as much as possible for the 5-year anniversary show in 2 weeks. The Reverend is available for weddings of couples or groups of any orientation or lifestyle, including those from the transgendered or kink communities, outside or across the street from Catholic, fundamentalist, or any other Taliban-modeled theocratic church. If you want to write to the Reverend for feedback, input to future-themed shows, or ideas for future theme shows, or pretty much any reason except to send spam, unless it's, of course, that hilarious Jesus spam that still comes my way since the show started, or to send what the Reverend loves, good cartoons, as well as informative articles, stuff about music, stuff from the Reverend's want list of music and film, or just about anything. Write to Reverend Book Byrne, care of Quail, as in Dan Numbnuts Quail, the biggest fucking idiot after Reagan and before George W. Enron Ho, corporate stooge, war criminal, piss poor impersonator of Forrest Gump, Bush. Quail, Quayle, at sjcdc.org. And at the website sjcdc.org, South Jersey Clinic Defense Coalition, you can check out an article entitled Theocracy and Sexual Freedom. There are old Reverend Book Byrne shows that are downloadable or listenable, however it works, for free at the Art Shows Archives website, as well as a blog at reverendbookburn.com. Future themes on the show include the show just mentioned that is coming in 2 weeks. We're off next week, but in 2 weeks, the 5th anniversary show, which should be exciting as fuck. Probably the most exciting show in a very long time. And not sure if we're going to do the erotic interpretation of the Super Bowl this year. But we're definitely doing Love Night, the Sunday before Valentine's Day, as well as other sacred holiday traditions like Anti-President's Day. And we have some other themes coming up, including Spy on This, And after we talk about putting a show on for the spies, for the spiers from Big Brother, you can send in your input and ideas, and we'll assemble them for the forthcoming Spy on This! Themed show, as well as Who Would Jesus Do? Bush and Blair, A Love Story. The Reverend Cracks the Da Pinch Me Code. Halliburton Gives Condi an Oilgasm. More perverted stories from Moral Crusaders, starring W. David Hager, Senator Henry Hyde, Neil Horsley, and Randall Terry. Henry Hyde's Retirement Party. Rehab for Pedophile Priests. Recovery for Propagandists, in which we will discuss this 12-step monopoly and delusional higher power recovery systems, as well as the misuses of the word addiction, such as love addiction, sex addiction, porn addiction, internet addiction, television addiction, golf club addiction, and other misuses and misguided propaganda pertaining to the word addiction. Recovery for Propagandists, as well as Pubic Property, in which we will talk about Puritan posturing and sex negativism from the family values and moral hypocrites crowd, as well as liberals and conservatives, left-wing and right-wing, from Christian fundamentalists to groupthink freethinkers to certain kinds of women's studies classes, all of that on the Pubic Property Show. And so far, every idea that has been contributed to that has been incorporated into that forthcoming themed show. Tonight the theme is New Year's Show 2006 and Put on a Show for the Spies. Put on a Show for Spies. And that is a response to the news that the Bush regime openly gave a green light to the spy agency that has received even more billions of dollars of funding since September 11th, 2001, and supposedly to catch the bad guys from far away. However, even though it's not used for the terrorists at home, like Christian fundamentalists with the same mentality and level of danger that Al-Qaeda is, as they bomb abortion clinics and shoot more doctors and perpetrate more violence as they have in the last 25 years, it is instead used to spy on your local peace group, your local nonviolent, usually non-law-breaking, anti-war groups, people who organize unions and for various causes, and whoever. So, since we now know that spying is rampant, wildly abused, and a throwback to the 60s COINTELPRO program, counterintelligence program, and similar programs, since spying is so high on the rise and is now out in the open and thoroughly exposed throughout this nation, there seems to be one logical response, and that is to give them a show. And when we say give them a show, we mean do it good. Do it really well. That could include, but is of course not limited to, the use of your personal favorite pleasure toys. And if you're one of these followers of the pedophile priests, you are very likely to be a person who holds some very suspicious looking beads, and there's all kinds of shows people can put on with those beads. You don't need a special video to teach you how to do that. The use of toys, which you can get from Divine Interventions, divine-interventions.com, including use of the baby Jesus butt plug. You can show them a real show with your partner or partners. You could give them a show with self-love, whether you're watching a tape or Spanish TV or something that works for you. And if you're into anything really weird, definitely the weirder the better. If you're way weirder than the Reverend or into stuff normally called gross that the Reverend is not into and does not understand, definitely give them a show. Because they need it. And they might love it. They might hate it. They might love and hate it. But give them a show and keep them diverted from the people who are organizing against the war, against the exposed and collapsing Bush regime, and organizing around any number of worthwhile issues and causes, and divert attention away from them and towards you and your show. We're going to put on a show for them tonight. I hope they're listening, because tonight is also for these fucking spies. Are you listening? This is Reverend Bookburn, and I want to put on a show for you. You can't watch me, so you don't know where my hands are, and you don't know what I'm doing, but this show is for you. The spoken parts, the music, and we hope you like it. We know you do. Happy belated birthday to the Reverend's friend, Jennifer Hunter, who is, well, I'm not allowed to say what chronological number she became, but it is her birthday, and happy belated birthday to her. And she is online at jenniferhunterconsulting.com, and that provides information for her telephone dominatrix service. And the number for that, for those interested, or if you want to pass it on to someone who is interested in that kind of thing, is 215-627-JEN, 215-627-JENN. And if you do get into it, be absolutely sure to tell them that the Reverend sent you. Okay, what else is happening besides the spying controversy? Let's see. Today, there is an event called Justice Sunday. That is an event in which former recipient of Asshole of the Week, corrupt member of the Black Clergy of Philadelphia, homophobe and woman-hating, recipient of Bush regime's faith-based initiative funds, that Reverend Lusk has imported far-right-wing people from the Family Research Council and Focus on the Family and other right-wing nutcases who have an extensive history of being far-right and racists and tapes, etc. But he is kissing their ass and vice versa. And I mean no disrespect to people who really are into kissing ass. And I apologize for the degrading comparison. But they are kissing each other's ass for an event called Justice Sunday, which I now understand is also occurring in other parts of the country and on different Sundays, because they want to support one of Bush's Taliban clones as he is nominated for the U.S. Supreme Court. The ultimate justices, the ultimate people who rule on policies, court challenges, violations of the Constitution. The kind of fucks that have been nominated and confirmed by George W. Numbnuts Bush would make Bin Laden very proud. And these motherfuckers from Just a Sunday want to continue that tradition because of their agenda of being anti-women, anti-birth control, anti-abortion, homophobic, sex negatives, and pro-censorship, and of course to prop up their own status, leadership, and fundraising, and getting out of having to work for a living because they're too fucked up, and perpetrating their own personal ambitions, Justice Sunday. And they are also being met, Michelle, Reagan, Bush, already confirmed bites, and we'll cover that in a while. There's something off the internet about the protests against Justice Sunday in Philadelphia. However, hopefully we will get a live report from the Northeast Philadelphia Clinic Defenders or Everlasting Godstopper or one of the friends of the show who is, as we speak, protesting Justice Sunday. Okay, what else is happening? Former Asshole of the Week Pat Robertson said on his 700 Club show on the Christian Broadcasting Network and all kinds of corporate media outlets that the recent medical catastrophes experienced by Israeli leader Ariel Sharon was God's punishment for Sharon's role in returning the Gaza Strip to the Palestinians and working on the peace efforts. And he was actually quoting this cartoon character who speaks to him, and he does claim to really hear it, so we know he needs some fucking meds, that he heard this voice say to him, "Whoa to any Israeli leader who carves up my land." Now, when I hear something like that, "who carves up my land," I'm picturing this supreme being in hillbilly overalls and a pitchfork and maybe a rifle over his shoulder saying, "Woe to those who want to carve up my land." So that was presented in public by Pat Robertson. Sharon recently was a part of the peace process in the Middle East. He will probably be followed up by an asshole if he dies or is unable to return to public office. However, the corporate media loves to paint him as a man of peace and somebody who was always like that, and they're describing him as if he was the Dalai Lama or Gandhi or King or somebody like that. He does not have any such history. Ariel Sharon has a history of mass murder of civilians. A role in the Shatila massacres and other massacres. And so this kind of mourning is kind of like mourning, you know, every combined serial killer in the news of the last 50 years times 155. But at the same time, when some fucking idiot like Pat Robertson says that it was an act of God to give him a massive stroke, well, maybe stroking is something Pat Robertson should consider and make himself just a little bit better. And of course, the Abramoff scandal. Yes, the powerful lobbyist and briber connected to Tom DeLay and all of the major Republicans of the Bush regime is going to take a guilty plea and give information. So, as exposed and scorned as the Bush regime war criminals have been for during the last couple of shows, they're going to come down even faster as this information comes to light. And one such creature who received money from him and has actually been associated with Abramoff for a couple of decades is former Christian Coalition co-founder, along with Pat Robertson, and now a candidate for lieutenant governor in the Deep South, none other than Ralph Reed. And we're going to compile more information about Ralph Reed and put it on the show, because that motherfucker needs to be exposed in the worst way. And while we're on the subject of the South, please check out southernresistance.com. Alright, way talked out. There's so much stuff to try to cover. And we want to talk about the mining disaster and Paul Krasner's new book, the Enron trial coming up, and all kinds of goodies. A book about Bob Dylan and the Uganda abstinence campaign in response to the AIDS crisis, and so much more. The Reverend is going to attempt to use the turntable at Radio Volta, which was not working when we first returned to the airwaves after being revamped. But now, according to Sensitar on the Radio Volta show before mine, it is working. And if that's the case, you're going to hear a song by SVT, which was a band in the late 70s in the San Francisco area that included former member of Jefferson Airplane and Hot Tuna named Jack Cassidy on bass. And SVT did their own New Year's song. So hopefully this will play. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that the RadioVolta.org turntable in Philadelphia will play the New Year song by SVT. Please make that happen. Hallelujah. We have nothing happening. Now we do. Thank you, Lord. We'll be right back.
anybody out there know that for the first time in American history, the U.S. Army was used in a war operation against the American people?
Yes!
Right near here, up in Humboldt County, about 200 miles north of San Francisco, right near a town called Shelter Cove, get this, 300 to 400 American GIs dressed and fully armed with the automatic rifles, armed for battle, fanned out on maneuvers through the woods, backed up by a dozen Black Hawk attack helicopters. The mountain people up there were frightened out of their wits. They thought there was a war going on, especially the ones who had soldiers kicking in the doors to their cabins and putting guns to their heads in front of their children. Why? Who was the enemy in this war? Not the communists, not Saddam Hussein, not Earth First or even the Spotted Owl. No, the enemy. They called out the army to put down secretly so as few people outside of Humboldt would get alarmed as possible. It wasn't even a person or an army or a terrorist group. It was a plant. The marijuana plant. And they actually did find a few for the GIs to pull up, and then they had to fly in more from the government stash so the pile would look big enough when they lit the bonfire for the network TV news cameras so they could say, yes, another triumph in the drug war. Drug war. War. The American army sent to war against the American people. And we're supposed to feel relieved and secure and protected. Protected from what? A lot of people with more guts than I'll ever have risked their life and limb all last summer at the Earth First Redwood Summer Action up in Humboldt County. They were chaining themselves to redwoods that were three times wider than they were spread eagle. They were 800 years old as the saws buzzed right over their heads. They stood in the dirt as the bulldozers charged them and stopped right at their toes. Or people waved clubs at them, charged them with logging trucks, shotguns, you name it. All to try and save some of the last unspoiled virgin forest we have left anywhere in this country from being chopped down and made into toilet paper, TV guides, and the Weekly World News. On the other side, the loggers saying, what about our jobs? What about our families? What about our lives? You needed wood and cardboard to make those protest signs. We need fuel. We need paper. It's almost gone. Where are we going to get more? The answer for centuries has been right under our nose. Yeah. Grow more pot. Yeah. If we're serious about saving the earth, saving the ozone, and our freedom to go about saving the earth and the ozone, we should start by paying all those dirt poor coca farmers in South America and out of work loggers in Fortuna and Eureka and Midwest family farmers and Rust Belt families too to all get together and grow more pot. Why? Get ready for this. There's a book out. It's called The Emperor Wears No Clothes. The author's name is Jack Harar. It's published by Queen of Clubs. I think there's ads for it in High Times or Normal National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws. They could direct you to one, I'm sure. And in this book, among other places, it is written, before the 20th century, the marijuana plant provided almost all the world's paper, all the world's clothing and textiles, and almost all the world's rope. According to none other than the U.S. Department of Agriculture, you can make four times as much paper from an acre of marijuana hemp plants as you can from an acre of trees. And instead of chopping down all the redwoods in Humboldt County and turning Northern California and Oregon and Washington into Appalachia or the Sahara Desert, if you do it with hemp plants, you can just grow another crop a few months later and make more paper. at one quarter the cost of making paper from wood pulp and only one fifth the pollution. The ancient Romans knew this and grew it. Henry VIII made each farmer in Old England grow their share, because they knew if you want the strongest natural fiber there is, you all got to do your part for the king and grow more pot. And we did, too. Guess what Levi jeans were originally made out of? And guess what American flags used to be made out of? And guess what the early drafts of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were written on? And if that's too unchristian for you, guess what they made Gutenberg and King James Bibles out of? Guess what you can use to power a car? Can get at least four times as much cellulose to make gasohol or methanol from hemp stems as he can from a corn stalk, which along with solar energy would be a great way to avoid dying for oil in Saudi Arabia. Yes. In the 20s and 30s, most American cars and farm machinery had the option of running on gas or on methanol. Most racing cars still do run on methanol. And George Washington and Thomas Jefferson grew cannabis on their plantations and smoked it, too. In the 1760s in the American colonies, you could even be jailed for not growing pot, because that was part of the key to become economically independent from Britain. Hemp was legal tender in America, a substitute for money, from 1630 clear up until the early 1800s. And hemp seeds are a great source of protein, better than soybeans. And it's cheaper than soybeans, too. Or so says the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Marijuana is legal for medical use in 34 states. Used to treat glaucoma and pain caused by cancer. You can digest more protein out of a hemp seed than a soybean seed. It's even shown some signs of being able to combat herpes. And guess what kind of a parachute Mr. Drug War Junta Man himself, George Bush, used when he bailed out of that bomber in World War II? Yeah. Hemp was illegal by then, but farmers were briefly ordered to grow it again in this country for the war effort and all, and the U.S. Army had their own stash all along in the colonies in the Philippines. So, how did everything get turned around so damn bad? Doesn't it strike you as a little dumb that we burn oil and choke ourselves and chop down all our trees and ruin innocent people's lives by branding them criminals and throwing them in jails or sending them off to drug camps or taking all their property and selling it before they're brought to trial? In the process, making crack and heroin cheaper and easier to get than pot. Why do we do this when we don't have to? Meanwhile, the police chief of L.A., Daryl Gates, gets front page approval for telling a U.S. Senate committee that pot smokers should be shot on sight. Because smoking pot is treason, because after all, it's illegal. Why was marijuana cracked down on? And why was it done so violently? Well, ready? In 1936, Popular Mechanics magazine hailed the invention of a new machine to process hemp, predicting that marijuana hemp would once again become the world's largest cash crop. This did not sit at all well with people like Hearst Paper Manufacturing, or Kimberly-Clark, or other cutthroat multinationals who happened to have large timber holdings. Didn't sit too well with tobacco barons, for obvious reasons. And it sure as hell didn't sit too well with our old buddies DuPont. Hemp processing uses only one-fifth the chemicals needed to process wood pulp, and DuPont had just patented a new wood pulp sulfide process. And DuPont's patented plastic fibers had just passed up hemp as the number two fiber next to cotton, and they wanted to keep it that way. And the last thing the big drug companies wanted was to lose their share of the ever-lucrative disease industry market to more affordable medicine made from marijuana or other natural ingredients because, check this out, you can't own and make money off a patent for medicine in this country unless the medicine has chemicals in it. If it's all natural ingredients, you can't patent it. Maybe that's why we don't have access to a cure for cancer or AIDS, or why the health food store I go to keeps getting harassed by federal authorities for selling herbal medicines. Meanwhile, guess who owns Congress? So, marijuana was outlawed in 1937. And they fanned the racism fires, playing the racism card just like they do when they want to crack down on rock and roll or rap or hip-hop or something like that. They said that smoking marijuana might cause you to fall under the influence of listening to jazz. And I believe it was even said on the floor of Congress that marijuana had to be banned because smoking it might make a black man look at a white woman twice. And let's not forget that U.S. Treasury Department-funded documentary film called Reefer Madness. So marijuana was outlawed as devil weed in 1937. Only 53 years ago, it was legal. Need I say more on why our beloved fearless leaders go out of their way to censor our access to information so damn much? Can you imagine the mass outrage if this kind of stuff ever really got out? And people knew that this so big drug problem they keep reading about and hearing about is being caused by the government themselves? And people knew how easily each one of us individually could turn our ecological and human crisis around without resorting to Nazi bullshit like oil wars and drug wars just by saying no to George Bush? And people knew that the very companies that provide us with such crucial conveniences as Kleenex, paper towels, and junk mail have systematically and brutally rearranged every single one of our lives so that we are literally wiping our ass with our own future. And it doesn't have to be this way. I mean, I'll tell you, I do feel kind of funny saying all this because I used to be a pothead and I hate smoking this stuff and the whole low-energy stoner deadhead vibe that comes with it. But you don't need to smoke pot to realize that the real drug problem in this country is not the drugs. And we can help solve our drug problems, crime problems, environmental problems, even our racial problems, if we say no to George Bush and get together and grow more pot. Yeah. Ever thought of what a sadomasochistic culture we really have? How much of our emotional pulse really revolves around pain? How many people cling to grim religions based on torture? Afraid to break the cycle out of fear of the unknown. It's so much more secure just to hate your own guts. Break down, kneel down, confess, and think of all the horrible things that are going to happen to you if you don't confess. It's a crime to open your eyes. It's a sin to look around and explore too far. Threats from above keep people whipped. Sadomasochism on a stick. And what do we talk about at parties to get attention? Pleasure? Love? We talk about pain. Like showing off the busted leg to the chums in the locker room or at the ski lodge. Or, look at all these gnarly scars I got when I wiped out on my skateboard. War wounds. Pain. The proof of purchase of adventure. I crashed and burned, therefore I am alive. When was the last time you heard someone reminisce about the orgasm they had the other day?
titties like you wanted me, calling me all the time. That blondie, check out my Chrissy behind, it's fine all of the time. Like sex on the beaches, what else is in the teachers of teachers? Huh, what? On my titties like you wanted me, calling me all the time, that Bondi, check out my Chrissy behind, it's fine all over the time. What else is in the teachers of peaches? Like sex on the beaches,
Fuck the pain away. Fuck the pain away.
I kept a box to bloom of my room to my girl named Cheryl. Said you're a squarehead, argyle socks are out, boy. Well, she only said it once, cause I'm no dunce. And I popped a karate chop right on top of her swan-like neck. And she said, heck, you wrecked my swan-like neck with a karate chop on top of her, hump boy. She began to cry, she wanted to die. So said I, there's nothing worse than moldy pie. Your lunch pail when you're in jail, stealing ginger ale off Jerry Vale. Got in the mail from a frail at Yale, a little bail. Dropped a grail, the third rail on the Santa Fe Trail, hailed on an old nail and assailed by a snail who was old and cold and bold, cause he crawled up her nose. How is your bird? I said, how is your bird? Are you cleaving your scram? Is your clam in the jam? Like a dribbling of the fram? People people used to stop me, say, hey boy, don't you know you've been up really bad? I get mad, shake my head, now they get some too. And then one day this doll says, baby, maybe you need a new shampoo. Man, it's true, your tops are off of sloppy residue. That's so like a clown, I went downtown. Saw this guy in a white drugstore gown with a frown. I bought this hot new foamy stuff, strong enough to kill dandruff. But I can't use my comb, it'll cover with foam. It's all around my home, and it's not fair, cause the dandruff's gone, and so's my hair. Fair, scared chair. Where's there? Have a pair. How is your bird? I said, how is your snur? Are you cleaving your scram? Is your clam in a jam? Like a dribbling ram. I'm gonna blow a little more harmonica. I dropped my harmonica. Hey, bass player, stop trying to step my harmonica. Hey, don't step on it. You think you can kill harmonicas like that? More will come. Hundreds and thousands. There will be no bass players, just harmonica players. Today, a side man. Tomorrow, the whole band. You see?
I'm hallucinating angels. I hear voices. I receive divine commands. I am ordered by a creator to kill the infidels and the abortion doctors and the gays, every type of sex positive, and people who listen to heavy metal, rock and roll, hip hop, or punk. I hallucinate angels. I hear voices. I receive divine commands. I hallucinate Our Lady of Guacamole. And I want to talk to you about your mental health. I want to be your faith-based social services provider. I want to be your Christian supremacist social worker. I want to counsel you on your crisis pregnancy. For information, Stonians had about the faith-based initiative and other violations of the constitutional separation of church and state. Check out Americans United for the Separation of Church and State at au.org. au.org.
Kiss my rubber.
You know what I mean? You want a better world, ladies and gentlemen? Legalize pot right now. You want to end the deficit? Legalize pot right now. I am so sick of hearing about the goddamn deficit, I could fucking puke blood. There ain't no fucking deficit. It's a fucking lie, and it's a fucking illusion in the first place. But you want to end it? You want to end it? Legalize pot, biggest cash crop in America. Deficit's gone. But I am so sick of hearing about, well, your leaders misspent your hard-earned tax dollars, so you, the people, now have to tighten your belts, and we got to start paying this back. Because we, your leaders, misspent your money. You know what would make tightening my belt a little easier? If I could tighten it around Jesse Helms' scrawny little chicken neck. Sacrifice right now. You fucking tobacco pushing motherfucker. You are the worst fucking drug dealer in the fucking world. You scrawny right wing fear mongering piece of sucker of Satan's cock. You suck Satan's cock, you fucking chicken neck little fucking cracker. I'd tighten my belt if that were the case. I'd eat bologna for a week. You know what I mean? I'd sacrifice. Boy, Jesse Helms is another great one, isn't he? Just another little fevered ego tainting our collective unconscious. Because, you know, anyone like Swaggart, anyone that far to the right is hiding a very deep and dark secret. You do know that, right? I'm an armchair fucking psychologist, but anyone that... You know when Jesse Helms finally dies... He's going to commit suicide, first of all, in a wash tub out back underneath a pecan tree. He's going to slash his wrist and he's going to write in blood, "I've been a bad boy." But you know they're going to find the skins of young children drying in his attic. Swarms of horseflies going in and out of the eaves. And on CNN, over and over, his wife going, "I always wondered about Jesse's collection of little shoes." Anyone that far to the right is fucking hiding a deep, dark secret. Speaking of Satan, I was watching Rush Limbaugh the other day. Doesn't Rush Limbaugh remind you of one of those gay guys who likes to lay in a tub while other men pee on him? See his fat body in a tub while Reagan, Quayle, and Bush just stand around pissing on him, and he can't, his little piggly wiggly dick can't get hard. I can't get hard. Reagan, pee in my mouth. Well, how's that, Rush? Still can't get hard, so they call in Barbara Bush. She takes her pearls off, puts them up his ass, then squats over him, undoes her girdle. Her wrinkled, flaccid labia unfolds halfway down to her knees like some ballless scrotum. She squeezes out a link into his mouth. Finally, his dick gets half hard. Oh! A little clear bubble forms on the end with a maggot inside. The maggot pops the bubble and runs off and joins a pro-life group somewhere. Am I the only one that sees that? Or I'm not? Thank God I'm not alone. Thank God I had the insight to notice Rush Limbaugh is a scat muncher. He munches scat. Jesus, Bill. I'm so proud of that little dark poetry there. started, I came up with the word scat muncher, and it went from there, and I just immediately thought of Rush.
A tale of a fateful trip that started from this trumpet port aboard this tiny ship. Aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a skinny wimp, my lad. The skipper, fat for sure. Five passengers set sail that day on a 3-hour tour. A 3-hour tour. The weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of a fearless crew, the minnow would be lost. The ship set ground on the shore of this enchanted desert isle. With Gilligan, the skipper too. A millionaire is wife. A movie star. The professor and Marianne. Here on Gilligan's Isle. Now folks, the lights, no motor cars. Not a single luxury. Like Robinson Crusoe, as primitive as can be, as primitive as can be. So join us here each week, my friends, yes, shed and get a smile. From seven stranded castaways, here on Gilligan's Isle!
Like Germany in 43, let everyone was down on me and things were closing in. On my ideals, on my dreams, breaking out at the seams without discipline. But no one wanted to believe me, I was up against the wall when she came marching in to save me like a guardian general.
She hadn't worked out to an arm. Now she's in command of my heart.
A leather boot, spin back time on a golden wire, nice and slow. Military. I was broken, I was dirty, but she promised nothing hurt me since humanity. And no one ever understood me, I had visions, I had plans. She mapped out the way it could be, offered me a strip of hand.
She had it worked out to an arm. Now she's in command of my heart.
You heard Pointed Sticks doing the marching song. Before that, Rude Norton did Gilligan's Island. Bill Hicks did Deficit, Jesse Helms, and Rush Limbaugh from his incredible comedy CD, Rant in E Minor. Cookie did Wild Ride, and that's from a compilation of all women bands called Put Some Pussy in Your Punk, Volume 1. Volume 2 is now out. Info at ontherag.net. Race Marbles did Like a Dribbling Fram, and that was from Pebbles, Volume 3, The Acid Gallery. Peaches did Fuck the Pain Away. Jello Biafra did Grow More Pot from his third spoken word release, I Blow Minds for a Living. And started off with SVT doing New Year. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme is New Year Show 2006 and Put On a Show for Spies. And if you tuned in late, we talked about putting on show for these motherfuckers who have been rubber stamped by the criminal Bush regime, the exposed and scorned Bush regime, to spy on American peace activists, union organizers, and all kinds of people who are on their to be spied on list. And we encourage the use of pleasure toys from Divine Interventions, divine-interventions.com. Solo acts with your partner or partners. And if you're into anything kinky or beyond kinky, especially that, with helps from your video collection or Spanish TV or whatever gets you going. And there's, in addition, we did cover the birthday, but I forgot to cover a wedding. Congratulations to the two people who run Pro-Choice League, which you could check out at prochoiceleague.com, and they're good friends of the Reverend Bill Baird and Joni Scott. Bill Baird has fought for contraception and birth and abortion rights for over 40 years and is one of the most incredible human beings alive today, as is Joni Scott. And we wish them a lifetime of happiness. Happy wedding to Bill Baird and Joan Scott, married December 24th, 2005. And this has to be the funniest thing. This came to the Reverend's home from St. Matthew's Churches, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Two homes are about to be blessed. Then it must go to another dear friend, yours first. And inside, you are informed that you could be blessed with $46,000 after using a prayer rug. Well, since they were nice enough to amuse me and make me laugh by mailing that to my home, I thought I would share that with you. Thank you, St. Matthew's, for showing me that my friends who are going through tough times and go through a lot of self-doubt are far less fucked up than they thought. And there's way too much shit. I have a whole lot of tunes I'm not even going to have time for. But I want to encourage people to support right away, because this case is coming to a head this coming Friday, January 13th, the case of medical marijuana exile Steve Cubby. And information about him is at Cubby, K-U-B-B-Y, Cubby.com. And he, like many other medical marijuana exiles, fled fascism and crossed the border to the north into Canada. And now they're starting to, they want to deport a lot of these folks like Rene Bouger and Steve Cubby. And his case comes to a head for deportation, in which he will definitely get a prison sentence, which in the barbaric American prisons is effectively a death sentence for anybody with serious health issues thanks to the privatization of their healthcare services. And if you go to cubby.com, you can see the four justices, the four ministers, as they're called, who need to be contacted in support of Steve Cubby at cubby.com, K-U-B-B-Y, cubby.com. And he has a link to a page I never heard of, a page for the late and great Peter McWilliams, also murdered by the war on hemp, on medical hemp. Lost access to it, faced outrageous jail time, and died from complications of AIDS. And if you go to McWilliams.com, he has a link for all of my books online, and then excerpts from his incredible book, Ain't Nobody's Business If You Do, The Absurdity of Consensual Crimes in Our Free Society. Okay. I'm not going to read any more of this shit, except I'll give it plugs, because there is a whole lot more music, and I think tonight's show is going to end on time. No overtime, because this is the week that the Seclusiastes radio show comes on with Dave79 and Starkey. So, but I want to really recommend an article from alternet.org entitled Give Miners Justice, Not the Shaft, about the horrible mining tragedy in Sago, West Virginia. And this was a quote from Alternet. The bigger story behind the mine disaster, the government agency in charge of mine safety has been weakened by the Republicans' business-friendly and people-hostile policies. And this is by Matthew Wieland. And please check that out. And Cindy Sheehan's article entitled 2006, The Year the Chicken Hawks Will Go Home to Roost, at truthout.org. Let's see. Available at counterpunch.org or Dr. Susan Block's own website, drsusanblock.com. January 7th and 8th, 2006. Abramoff Family Values, The Lobbyist Who Screwed Us All, by Dr. Susan Block. Once again, the moralists have been jerking us off. It's an old story of sanctimony and thievery. We Americans never seem to learn our lesson that the worst crooks are the moralists among us. Like I said before, beware of those who are holier than thou, for often they are fleecers of their own flock. And that's also reprinted at counterpunch.org. Okay, Radio Volta asked the Reverend for his top 10 picks for 2006, and it's going to be at the RadioVolta.org website. However, I thought I'd share them with you. The first one from Jello Biafra's label, Alternative Tentacles, at AlternativeTentacles.com, The Great Blowfly. Blowfly's comedy release, Fahrenheit 69. Also, the CD by Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Gospel Choir. And they're online too at revbilly.com. Margaret Cho's comedy CD, Assassin. And also at Alternative Tentacles, a music release by Jello Biafra with the Melvins. Their second CD, Sig Howdy. Eric Swartz, Keep Your Jesus Off My Penis. The re-release of DOA's War on 45, the 2005 War Edition, the Al Franken Show's release entitled Party Album, and from the Asylum Street Spankers, Pussycat, from Caesar Pink and the Imperial Orgy, Sex Salvation, and the Vancouver Punk Compilation that gave us the Gilligan's Island song and the song by Pointed Sticks, Vancouver Punk. And that's from DOA's label, SuddenDeath.com. Those were the Reverend's top 10 picks for 2005. Not entirely sure about the chronological release of all of them, but they were either 2005 or turned on to me in 2005. Had some hilarious feedback from the Reverend's Holiday Tree and Balls special 2005 that George W. Numbnuts Bush was a live guest on the show, and yet somebody claiming to be Bush was on live television in the last-ditch attempt to sell a war for oil and Halliburton profits. Well, obviously, and it was some of the emails and comments were hilarious, but obviously the dickhead on TV was another piss-poor impersonator of Forrest Gump, and obviously a Bush imposter. There's a full statement at ReverendBookburn.com about that. And let's see. All right. Oh, check out the new book by Paul Krasner entitled One Hand Jerking, Reports from an Investigative Satirist. Foreword by Harry Shearer. Introduction by Lewis Black. And that's at Seven Stories Press, which is sevenstories.com, or at his own website, Paul Krasner, K-R-A-S-S-N-E-R, paulkrasner.com. All right, getting talked out again, even though I just started. All right, I'll save updates to the Reverend's Want List. Let's see, A.J. Weberman's book about Bob Dylan is at dylanology.com, and we'll talk about that, and A.J. sent the Reverend a release about it. And let's see. All right, this other shit, we'll just have to wait until next week. More shit about Abramoff. God. Already sick of that subject. All right. Let's see. Oh, we talked about the dickhead Ralph Reed. And, the Enron trial. And check out the Enron movie at enronmovie.com, which is definitely worthwhile. All right, and all the tunes we don't get to this week, we'll get to in 2 weeks when we do Reverend Bookburn's 5th anniversary show, a show I am tremendously looking forward to. Let's play this next set of tunes because I don't think we're going to get any overtime, and it's a big set. And it's going to begin with the Gang of Four. And there is a re-release on CD of the Gang of Four's incredible first release entitled Entertainment. This track is entitled I Found That Essence Rare.
drugs and rock and roll is all my brain and body need. Sex and drugs and rock and roll. It's very good indeed. Keep your silly ways or throw them out the window. The wisdom of your ways, I've been there and I know. Lots of other ways. What a jolly bad show. If all you ever do is business you don't like. Sex and drugs and rock and roll. Sex and drugs and rock and roll. Sex and drugs and rock and roll is very good indeed. Every bit of clothing ought to make you pretty. You can cut the clothing, grey is such a pity. I should wear the clothing of Mr. Walter Mitty. See my tailor, he's called Simon. I know it's going to fit. A little bit of advice, you're quite welcome, it is free. Don't do nothing that is cut price, you know what they'll make you be. They will try their tricky device, trap you with the ordinary. Get your teeth into a small slice, the cake of liberty. Sex and drugs and rock and roll. 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 Sex and drugs and rock and roll.
Gotten to the point where they are talking about using torture as a possible means of extracting information. Even liberals like Alan Dershowitz, who said that it would be irresponsible not to consider the possibility of using torture to extract information. And I thought about it, you know, I think for Kenneth Lay, yeah. Now, I was at the Republican and Democratic conventions, and at the Republican convention, Dick Cheney said that whenever we think of Al Gore, we'll think of Bill Clinton. The implication, of course, was that the two of them had a threesome with Monica Lewinsky. And the one who believed it most was Al Gore. What happened was that Bush campaigned on that whole image. You know, we're going to put honor and dignity back into the White House. You know, and everybody knew what the implication was. So Bush didn't get a blowjob in the Oval Room, but he did get a lousy lay in the White House. And so I have Schadenfreude about this whole thing. There's a German word, I think it's pronounced Schadenfreude, Schadenfreude, Schadenfreude. And it means shadow joy, which is the name of a stripper I once met. But it means taking pleasure in someone else's misery. And all during the past few months, I've had a few Schadenfreude attacks. I pronounce it that way because I need a mnemonic device to remember it, and so I think of Sigmund Freud with a lampshade stuck in his stomach. So, I had my first Schadenfreude attack when they canceled the Emmys. That was a good one, you know. Oh, and then they did it again. But for Enron, it's just one constant Schadenfreude. Oh, I mean, you know, that company was originally called Enteron. Which literally meant intestines. So they, true, that's true. But they shortened it to Enron, which means shit on all your employees. And then, it, of course, came Pretzelgate. And been a lot of speculation about that. The theory that I think is the most close to reality is that Bush was eating his pretzels and his two dogs knocked over the beer. But when Dick Cheney was in his cave playing pinochle with Osama bin Laden, where the two caves met, he heard the news. They have a dish there. He gets good TV reception. And he saw the first report that Bush had choked and passed out. And if this were a little more permanent, he might well become the president. He was the successor. So Cheney got so excited that he had a heart attack. See, Alanis, that's ironic.
Long before listen closely because we will all see this weapon used in our lives. It can be used on a society of the most ignorant and the most highly educated. We need to see these tactics as a weapon against humanity and not as truth.
This is how to create an enemy. This is how to start a war. This is how to create an enemy.
First step, create the enemy. Sometimes this will be done for you. Second step, ensure the enemy that you have chosen is nothing like you. Find obvious differences like race, language, religion, dietary habits, fashion. Emphasize that their soldiers are not doing a job. They are heartless murderers who enjoy killing. Third step, once these differences are established, continue to reinforce them with all disseminated information. Fourth step, have the media broadcast only the ruling party's information. This can be done through state-run media. Remember, in times of conflict, all for-profit media repeats the ruling party's information. Therefore, all for-profit media is state-run. Fifth step, show this enemy in actions that seem strange, militant, or different. Always portray the enemy as non-human, evil, a killing machine.
This is how to create an enemy. This is how to start a war. This is how to create an enemy.
Sixth step, eliminate opposition to the ruling party. Create an us versus them mentality. Leave no room for opinions in between. One that does not support all actions of the ruling party should be considered a traitor. Seventh step, use nationalistic and or religious symbols and rhetoric to define all actions. This can be achieved with slogans such as freedom-loving people versus those who hate freedom. This can also be achieved with the use of flags. Eighth step, align all actions with the dominant deity. It is very effective to use terms like it is God's will or God bless our nation. Ninth step, design propaganda to show that your soldiers have feelings, hopes, families, and loved ones. Make it clear that your soldiers are doing a duty. They do not want or like to kill. Tenth step, create an atmosphere of fear and instability. Then offer the ruling party as the only solution to comfort the public's fears. Remembering the fear of the unknown is always the strongest fear.
This is how to start a war. This is how to create an enemy.
We are not countries. We are not nations.
Enemy.
We are not religions. We are not gods. We are not weapons. We are not ammunition.
Enemy.
We are not killers. We will not be tools.
Motherfucker, I will not die. I will not kill. I will not be your slave. I will not fight your battles. I will not die on your battlefields. I will not fight for your wealth. I am not a fighter. I am a human being.
My name is Dr. Laura Hoare, and I'm here to tell you that I'm a very moral, ethical, opinionated, conservative Republican woman of the highest morals and integrity. I stand for America and patriotism, and I lie down and spread for the same damn reasons. I do not suffer gladly any liberal bullshit. Why, I hate liberal Democrats. I loathe everything about them. In fact, strange as it is, I hate them so much that at times I find them irresistibly sexy. Sometimes watching them on TV, whining and pandering to all the special interest groups like the poor, the minorities, the gays, the idiots in the middle class makes me so mad that I become turned on. And the sweet juices of my rage flows like a river from my loins. I'm here to tell all you chaste and pure thinking conservative men and women to throw yourselves naked on the altar of George W. Bush and thank the Lord that he put this intellectual genius in office after the long suffering years under Bill Clinton's penis. Oh, this is Dr. Laura Hoare saying good day.
you do one of those, man?
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And we have a runner-up. Runner-up to Asshole of the Week. Sunday, January 8th, 2006 at RadioVolta.org. Our special runner-up is, in San Francisco, the BART train system. The BART train system has been seen with pro Alito, the Taliban nominee for the Supreme Court, and anti-abortion ads from the pro-life educational ad campaign. BART system in San Francisco, you are runners up to Asshole of the Week, and that brings us to our special someones, and this will be spoken of more elaborately on a future show. The abstinence and AIDS workers of Uganda in Africa. In Uganda, where one of the highest rates in that entire AIDS-ravaged continent exist, there are people who accept Bush's conditional funds to oppose condom distributors and people who've been fighting AIDS for two decades and pushing abstinence only, and even these retarded virginity tests, as well as faithfulness classes and other things that do not work. In fact, the bigger the moralizer, the bigger the hypocrite. So, to the Bush stooges in Uganda, who are actually worsening the AIDS crisis, you are assholes of the week. We have heard enough of those sounds. You heard Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com doing Dr. Laura Hoare. Before that, Anti-Flag did Anatomy of Your Enemy. Voices of Africa did Abba Zabba from Mama Kangaroo's All Philly Women's compilation tribute CD for Captain Beefheart. I don't think he's late. Chumbawamba did Give the Anarchist a Cigarette. Paul Krasner did Enron Blues. Ian Drury and the Blockheads did Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll. And started off with a Gang of Four doing I Found That Essence Rare. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight's theme has been New Year's Show 2006 and Put on a Show for Spies. Write to me at write to Reverend Bookburn at Quayle, Q-U-A-Y-L-E, at sjcdc.org. And be sure to check out Reverend Bookburn, one word, reverendbookburn.com. Going to play one last song, and then you're going to hear a killer show coming up next. This is a very short song by MDC entitled Business on Parade. Happy New Year and good night. See you in 2 weeks for the 5th anniversary show.
All they do is fuck you, get fat on their pay. Get their drums to the ball, watch this man pop so they can get their drums to the stinking board. We're to warn you, if you say buy or die, business is on parade. Corporate scantry, drugs was poor, risen from the store. To come and buy the rich, promise life in the ditch. Don't be what the policy say, don't be what they do. All they do is fuck you, get out of their pay. Get a gun to the ball, watch